Well, we've all met. My name is Tom Berger, and I'm conducting the Alaska Native Review Commission, and I've been traveling all over the state to find out what people think about the land claim settlement, about ANCSA, and about the way in which it worked out. The village corporations and the regional corporations, whether it lived up to what people expected. What did you think the land claim settlement was going to bring, and what did it bring in the end? How do you feel about the corporations, shares, dividends? Then there's the question of 1991. As the law now stands, after 1991, you can sell your shares in the village corporation and the regional corporation, and if you sell them, you'll get whatever they're worth, I suppose. And you can use them to buy something, maybe a house or maybe just a snowmobile, depends how much they're worth. But if, let's say, a majority of the people in the Kuskokwim Corporation were to sell their shares and they were to be bought by an outsider, somebody from Anchorage or Seattle, then the those outside people would own Kuskokwim Corporation, and they'd own all the land that you have, village land, and all the land that was selected by the villages after the Land Claim Settlement Act. So, question whether or not your shares are going to be sold is an important one. Then there's the question of the children born since 1971. What about them? Should they be part of the settlement? Should they be enrolled as shareholders? What do you think about that? Then there's the question of subsistence. At all these meetings, people want to talk about subsistence because in a lot of places they feel that since 1971 their access to fish and wildlife, fish and game, has been restricted. They feel that is something that happened after the Land Claim Settlement Act. The Land Claim Settlement Act extinguished Aboriginal rights of hunting and fishing, and some folks think that was a mistake, but it happened, and here we are today. Then there's a question of Native self-government or self-determination or sovereignty, tribal government, tribal councils, IRAs. Those have been discussed around the state. We've been to 58 villages and towns, and this is the 59th, and we're going to Bethel for hearings tomorrow, and that'll be the last. So we've learned a lot. Hundreds of Alaska Natives have spoken, maybe 1,400 already at these meetings, and some non-Natives too. And we've learned a lot. I'm not here representing the United States government or the state of Alaska. I was asked to do this job by the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which is an international organization of Eskimos from Alaska, Canada, and Greenland, and the World Council of Indigenous People, which is an international organization of Indian people, also sponsors this commission. And my report will be, I'm going to write a report based on what you tell me at these meetings. And my report will be out in September. It'll be made public. And it'll be based on what people have said. So it will reflect what Alaska Natives think about the land claim settlement, about the present state of affairs, about the land, corporation, subsistence, children born since 1971, sovereignty, the future, And I'll be making recommendations that I hope will be of helpful, will be helpful to you in planning your future. And I'll be making recommendations for Native people in other countries because they're interested in what happened to your land claim settlement. How did it work out? Because they're settling their land claims now and they're concerned about the good things that happened here and the bad things about the land claim settlement. And I've been traveling for a year and I've heard a lot about it, but the good things and quite a lot about what people think are the bad things, so I'd like to know how you feel it all worked out. And I'm glad you're here today, and we've got lots of time, as far as I know, and maybe we could just talk about it informally. And
I testified the other day and been testifying what they call a round table in Anchorage of how I think the Native Claims Act hopefully can be changed and some of the bad things. One of the bad things about the Native Claims Act in my mind is the 1971 after that, the kids that were born after that are not enrolled. The question comes up as what we're going to do with them. Are they natives, or only way they can get a share is through inheritance? I personally think that they should, Congress or somebody, only Congress can do it, is to enroll them as natives. After we die off, we see it now. The trend now is that some of us don't have wills, and it's probated through courts, and we see some that are going to non-native shares. Shares are going to non-natives. So it's very important in our minds that deal with this. Is something has to be done if we're going to keep our shares in native hands. In fact, Cook Inlet has found that 28% of their shares are going to non-natives already, because they live in Anchorage, mixed marriages and so forth. Those are some of the concerns that we as the people that take care of the corporation is working on. And the couple other things that come to mind, is, of course, the biggest one is the 1991. Just like Mr. Berger said, if the Kuskokwim Corporations, which has a shareholder of 1,120 people, were to come to us in 1991 and said, we want to sell our shares, I don't know if we'll have enough money even to buy them. Then the other alternative for you would be to go to an outside person. And Mr. Berger just outlined what would happen. Then where would that leave us? Would they give us hunting rights to our portion? Nobody knows. And I believe in my mind that the law has to be changed pertaining to 1991. And somehow, in my mind, there should be a separation of corporate assets and the land. And I discussed this with the roundtable in Anchorage of how some of these things can work. But we're here mostly to hear from you. What do you think about the Native Claims Act? Has it done anything for you? What did you expect? Monetarily, we have never gained anything. I remember we were getting a check first time for $300 and some. That was one time given right after the Native Claims Act, and I think the law required it. From there, then I only money that we get is dividends that the corporation declares, and that's all. And has it upgrade our lives? Only thing that I see in the Native Claims Act is more problems for the natives as we work through and try to abide by the regulations of the federal government, also the state government, it gets more complicated. And I believe it'll just continue to get more complicated because of the laws that we have to live by. You and I know that our fathers and mothers 50 years ago, not even that long, they didn't have to abide by those things. Maybe this land claims itself was a mistake. We apparently, right now, as we know, we abolished our original rights in 1971. We're not blaming anybody, the leaders that did this, but I think the serious consideration of thinking about this, because we have given up our rights. We were the indigenous people of Alaska. We were here. We owned Alaska. But the federal government, in its wise ways, do some things that contrary to what we want to do. And hopefully what Mr. Berger is going to write, and he's done this in Canada for the Canadian natives, hold hearings just like this and gave it to the Canadian government. And they have followed his recommendations of what the people want pretty well. So hopefully this commission will come out with some recommendations after listening to people from all over the state of our concerns. And hopefully the federal government would listen to some of the recommendations from the people. So if anybody want to come up and just talk about just what, don't be afraid. If you want to talk native, we can interpret it. Just what you expected in 1971 and what you see the problems are in your mind. You're all natives. You probably got same concerns I have because we're all natives in this thing. And tell us about it, you know.
Yeah, my name is Pete Zakhar, one of the village council members and traditional council president. Live here all my life at Ushlikmute. Mainly concern of 1991 we're talking about now, and also there's many times it come to my mind and worries me, especially this kid was born, like Tiny said, 1971, December 18. And now the kids are up to the age, some of them are 6-7 years old, and they look at us, are we different? How come we don't have no shares and also no land? And sometimes to me it seems like they're lost. And also the peoples that have been born down in Lower 48, their mother and father from originally from up in Alaska, they were not enrolled. And they felt also, to me, are lost, and also seems like even they want to come home, they don't have no lands, and that bothers us. And there's very few people here in Alaska are enrolled, and a lot of them in the future will be starting coming home, and they will have trouble, to me. To, like Tiny said, we should encourage our Congress and also our representatives, our senators, to come up with something that will benefit and help our young uns in the future years. Because after 1991, there'll be a lot of scary things are coming to reality now. Even our older peoples, us and the older peoples, we're getting kind of uptight. We don't expect what the future will be. Because most of us are, we have limited education, and most of the time we don't know. All our lives we've been yes peoples. It's very scary when the 1991 comes and somebody try to buy our land, or if he's going to take it for the debt that we owe. Before we know it, we'll be standing and without no land. To me, to prevent that thing, we should come up with something in our own organizations to not to take away land from the rich people that we owe. Because I know the time is coming and will be. Some people we owe, even the native people, will say, you owe me. For so many years you can't pay, I'll take this portion of the land. And they will take, believe me, they will take the best part of the land first and leave the unused land for the last. It's really scary. So I think the best thing to do is work with our leaders. We were really fortunate to break off from ABCP 15 years ago or so to merge these 11 villages. At the time, we didn't know what the land settlement was. It was new to us. We made that big step, and we didn't know what to expect. As we live now, as of today, we start to learn little from our leaders and also the people that are trying to help us. Like Tiny said, we are against something that we don't know, and the scariest part is 1991. So that's all I have to say, Tiny.
Could I ask a couple of questions, Mr. Zakara? About how many people live here in Sleepmute?
Oh, as of now, probably a little over 100.
And how is Sleepmute governed? You said you're president of the traditional
yeah.
council. Is there a city council or anything like that?
We do have city council, yeah.
And the village corporation was merged with Kuskokwim Corporation back in the 70s. How do the people make their living here mostly? Is there any jobs?
There are seasonal jobs in summertime. It's very short, maybe 3-4 months. But most of the time, either trapping or do some odds and end works for the village and also their own. The most important is subsisting, because we don't have no big supermarket out here. The fella could go out with $20 and bring home a meat to his family. We have to go out and get it, like moose, rabbits, and all the mothers. That's the reason why the subsistence is very important to the, not only for this village, for the, all the villages in the community of Kuskokwim and also the Yukon. Because I've seen some older people, and I experienced myself too. When I go to town, I eat some burgers. Hamburgers.
The town is Bethel?
No, Anchorage.
Anchorage, sorry.
Hamburgers or something, yeah. Spaghetti fills me up, but I'm craving for something. Mm-hmm. When I come home, I eat some little moose meat and dry fish. No more hungry. So I think the peoples here are more rely on the subsistence than anything that's very important to for our diets.
And is the you said there's odd jobs in summer. What were you talking about?
For instance, now we got some construction going on here at the airport. And the previous years, it come out from that self-determination, like building community halls or housings or repair, winterization, all the mothers. And few cannery workers go out to the Bristol Bay, because we don't have no commercial fishing up here. Some work in the barges. So that's about the limited of income that people make in a very short season in summer.
And you say there's no commercial fishing this far up the river.
No.
So people have to rely on subsistence fishing.
Right.
And how has that been going?
Well, lately, I'd say about 5, 10, 15 years, been kind of declining, a little bit of count. But now they start to fish again, because they know the fish tastes good in the wintertime.
Sorry, you mean that they're fishing in the wintertime?
Summertime.
Oh, summertime, okay.
More subsistence, you know,
yeah.
Than they used to.
Yeah. You said that there's a traditional council here and a city council. How do the two of them get along?
Oh, they work both together, yeah. Mm-hmm. They work very well both together. And whenever we meet, they both meet together at the second Tuesday of every month.
Are some of the same people on both city council and traditional?
Most of them are, yeah.
So it's the same group of people?
Almost, yeah. There may be a half of them, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Maybe I can ask Peter.
Yeah, go ahead. Into the mic, Tony.
Peter, as you're aware of, in Aniak, for instance, in Gutkassat, they're city council people now.
Yeah.
We're experiencing that in Kalskag also. They take right over from the native. And is there a solution, I wonder, if, you know, more people move in, the whites tend to take over the city council or whatever they have here. And if we continue to do this, because why I say this is they're requesting lands in Aniak to be transferred from the corporation to the city, mm-hmm. because the city thinks that they could make subdivisions and sell them. Well, we did that one time, and we found that the only people that bought the land was the whites because they had the money. Now, is there in your mind something, some kind of other than the municipalities the state requires that should be in place so that the natives can control? You know, that what we always talk about native control, but there must be something out there, some entity do it. You know, IRAs he mentioned today. Mm-hmm. You know, what are your thoughts about them as you see in the other villages? You know?
It's kind of scary thing to me, from my personal opinion, when the Caucasians or any other peoples come moving to the village, because they know how to do things. Mm-hmm. Us villagers been live here all our life, our ancestors. We just live like animals and it was free. Mm-hmm. But now all of a sudden in 1971, and after that, they started to give us allotments, where our fish camps will be, where our winter camps will be. So, to me, if there's enough native people in the village should be the member of the village and also the traditionals, because they know what they want. Mm-hmm. For instance, if I go to Seattle or someplace, run for the council, and I want to try to run it, I don't know how. The people that living in that region or in the community knows what the village needs. I think they should be run by, most of them, by the village. But if they need help, they shouldn't be bashful or afraid to ask help from Anchorage or from you or from somebody else that knows. Because we always learn as we live.
Let me ask you. You think the state of Alaska, which has authorities under municipalities, you know, you think there should be a lot of teaching going on how a city works for the people to understand it?
I think that should be brought up now, because it's getting close to 1991. Mm-hmm. I think our young'uns and also graduate from the high school, they should form these peoples how to run the village as like a city. Because mm-hmm. if we don't know, the people from Lower 48 will come and run it. And pretty soon we'll be set aside and we have no voice whatsoever. And that brings up that selling the stock also. It comes back to me, because if we sell our stock, we'll have no votes and no voice. That's a very scary thing. So we should hang on to that, most important. Because we live without money all our lives, we could survive as long as the most important thing is the land for us to stand on, make home, not for only us, but our for kids and their kids.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about, remember when we selected our lands, we kind of in blocks, just like, really nobody would want to say it, but it's kind of like a reservation. The government says, well, village of Sleetmere will get 69,000 acres, you know, the one mm-hmm. first thing they give you was that township. Then from there, it's really a reservation, you know. You think that was right when they did that?
No, I don't think so. I thought, to my mind, That thing was do away with when we merged these 11 villages. Mm-hmm. To me, to my understanding, when we merged from Lower Kalskak to Line Village, mm-hmm. we just got the whole big block. Mm-hmm. That was to me, mm-hmm. but I think I understood it wrong. Mm-hmm.
We just got what you selected, you know, Crooked mm-hmm. Creek selected, and that's all. The government says that's all you can get.
Oh.
But really, it's reservation, you know, nobody says it, but that's what they put you in, you know. But we have the right, though, to fish and hunt in, around our area.
Around our area. Yeah.
Well, if it's a reservation, the trouble with it is, reservations in the lower 48, at least, they people really don't... they don't face the possibility of losing them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, if what you've got is a reservation, whatever the advantages of that may be, you also have the possibility of losing it all after 1991. Let me ask you something that's been concerning me. One of the proposals that has been made is that people should be able to not to sell their shares. That is, after 1991, if some white person comes in here and wants to buy everybody's shares, well, you couldn't sell them to that person. But the idea is that you could sell them back to your corporation. That is, you could sell your shares to the Kuskokwim Corporation. Now, if that happened in some villages, let's suppose half the people sold their shares, so they weren't shareholders anymore, and the other half kept their shares. Then you'd have a situation where half the people in the village would still have shares, would still control the corporation and the land, and the other half would have sold out and got some money and, you know, gone to Anchorage and come back again broke or whatever happens to people. Mm-hmm. So what do you think would happen with the people who didn't sell out? Would they be likely to say, look, you sold your shares, you don't have any shares in this corporation, you don't own this land anymore, so we're going to keep it, and we're going to do the hunting, and we're not going to let you hunt on this land. And do you think there's a possibility that that kind of thing would happen, or do you think people would say, oh, forget it, you can use the land?
Well, I don't know. It's too far to think ahead like that, but I'm pretty sure there'll be some problem come up similar to what you were saying mm-hmm. in very few communities, but most of the communities are related to each other, so I don't know if that problem will be a very serious problem or not.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, you guys, come on up.
Maybe you talk, if they're translated, tiny bit translated. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You can sit over there if you like.
We can write there.
Excuse me, would you put down, Tiny was the first to speak, Glenn Fredericks, President, Kuskokwim Corporation. Yes, sir.
My name is Moxie Alexi, and I'm shareholder of the Kuskokwim Corporation.
Do you live here?
I live here all my life, yeah. What I thought there were, I don't know how this works. You're going to be asking me questions, or I'm going to ask you questions.
Well,
I'm
you
kind
can
of unprepared for this.
If you want to say something, fine. If you want to ask questions, that's fine, too.
Well, really, my questions were for the... Our corporation in Anchorage, and our regional corporation, Chalista.
Well, like here's the man.
Like the resolutions they're gonna be voting on in March. I thought Chalista, at the convention we had in Anchorage in October, I thought they were supposed to be coming out to the villages and ask the people, what do we thought about these different resolutions going to be affecting all of us in 1991. And to this date, they haven't. They haven't even come out here, not that I know of. I've been here ever since, and I'd like to know why they haven't come out.
That question came up from Aniak also. We in Chilista Corporation have a committee dealing with 1991, and I do have some proposals from AFN that we have been working on, and I'll leave them here. We put a proposal with AVCP and Chilista to send people out from AFN and myself and Nelson from the corporation side to inform you of what these resolutions contain. That money was turned down by whoever the agency were trying to get to. I think it was something like $25,000, $28,000. Nelson Nangapak, the president of the Chilista Corporation, and I just had a meeting after we found out that the grant proposal was turned down. We are going to have a board meeting starting Wednesday, and I'm going to propose that instead of trying to get this grant, that our fares be paid to come out to the villages and start talking about these resolutions that I have. We were kind of waiting to get this money from another source. Now that we know we don't have it, we'll have to appropriate money from Chilista Corporation in order to accomplish this, and the board members will have to vote on it. Hopefully we will get some money so that we can go out and start talking about it.
When's the convention in Anchorage? I think it's 28th March. We think that'll be enough time to go out to different villages, and a lot of them don't even know what's in the these resolutions, you know. And I was in there in October, and we went up there to talk with what's her name? She's the president of AFN.
Janie Dean.
Yeah. And I asked her who, they said delegates to come on up here. I asked her, who are the delegates here? She said, well, which region corporation do you belong to? I said, Chilista. She said, okay, it'll be Nelson. I mean, here's a guy, Nelson, he's the president of a big regional corporation, and he has so much, what he says goes. And yet he hasn't come out here to the villages and asked, you know, the people, us, we're the ones that are going to be affected by this. And I sure don't like them. I'm against that. They should come out here and talk to us, let us know what's going on, you know. They don't. And here's the next convention coming up in this month in Anchorage, and they're going to be passing these resolutions, and they still haven't come out here yet. And yet they turn around and say they're speaking on our behalf. They're not.
What do you think about these issues? In other words, putting to one side the fact that Chilista hasn't come out and talked all these questions over with you, but if they did come, what would you be telling them? Maybe you could. What do you think of ANCSA, the land claim settlement, the corporations, shares? How did it all work out? Good or bad or somehow?
My personal opinion is it didn't do a bit of good. What good did it do? In this area, there probably was just a handful of people that even knew that the the act was coming through before December 18th, 1971. Those of us that did know about it, we didn't understand it, how it was going to affect us. I don't see what good it did to last minute claim something like. It's the same here. It was in the late 50s and in the 60s before the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act was passed. It's the same. I think it's going to be just. I don't expect any changes in my lifetime.
Sorry.
Before 1971, you're saying that people should have been informed of just what we got into.
Yeah, they should have. They should have talked with the people and let us know what was going on and what to expect. And even because the way I remember the December 18th, 1971 was there were just very few people that came out here, and I think you were out here. you did a lot, I think, in trying to explain to the people, but there should be more effort than that. There should be
Let me ask you this. You know, I've worked on these resolutions that you're talking about. It took us a year to do them, but my position to these things are to delay them. I mean, what is March at 28 so quickly? I kept saying that to AFN board. I said, it's just too quick. We can't get the word out, you know, and get feedbacks. But, majority rules, right? And I still say today that it's just too soon. We'll have the same repercussion if Congress actually adopt those things. Still half the people don't even know, you know. I think that's wrong, and I've been saying that all along. It's just too soon. But their thinking is that Congress will change, you know. People that make these laws into being will change, you know. But so what? You know, I think we should hear from the people first. That's what I've been preaching, but...
One of the things that you might comment on is this. Wherever I go, we have these complaints about the regional corporations, and they never come out and tell us anything, and they're in Anchorage and riding around in big cars or things like that. But one of the reasons why these people can't come out and see the people in the villages is because they're busy running those corporations. They've got businesses to run. Millions of dollars that have to be invested and looked after. That's one of the things that we've heard about. But let me ask you about some of the things that you must have thought of since 1971. What about these children who were born after 1971? Do you think they should be enrolled now? They weren't enrolled then, but do you think they should be enrolled now? And any ideas about that?
I don't know if they should be enrolled or not. The children were born after December 18, 1971, but I think they should get something.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're entitled to land. I really think they should get land. I don't know about enrolling them, giving stock like every shareholder, but I think they're entitled to land. They should receive land.
What about the business of selling shares? Suppose we were able to talk to Congress and say, here's what I want done about this. Do you want to be able to sell your shares after 1991 and get some money out of this? You said you had gotten nothing out of it. Suppose these shares are worth something. Shares in Kuskokwim, shares in Chilista. Knowing that if too many people sell their shares, a majority sell their shares, they won't own their corporations and they won't own their land anymore. How do you feel about that? What choice would you make if you had to?
I'd keep my share. I really believe it should be owned by the Native. After all, Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act all about for Natives. I can't see. I hate to see it being transferred over to non-Natives. But we're talking about the resolutions. We're really talking about these resolutions. We're talking about amendments to the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act. What's the chance of Congress adopting these?
Well, Congress has changed the act. Congress has amended the act three times already.
Mm-hmm. More than that.
And I don't suppose anybody can predict exactly what they would do, but it seems to me the first step is for Alaska Natives to decide what it is they want to do and then go and talk to Congress about it. That's your business, not mine, but... That's why I'm asking you what you want to do. I'm sure they're reasonable men and women, and I'm sure they listen. I noticed on the radio we were talking about it. They listen to the farmers. They listen to other people. I guess they'll listen to Alaska Natives.
I can't believe our corporation being so busy in running our corporations for us that they can't come out here and inform the people what's going on, especially about this that's going to affect all of us. I mean, we have, within the region, we have different Native organizations. We have KNA out of Aniak. We have ABCP out of Bethel. And money's available to those organizations that they can come out here and inform the people of what's going on. If the corporation can't come up with the money, I mean, we have these Native organizations that were formed just for these, you know, to inform the Native people. We have one in Aniak and we have one in Bethel. I can't see why the corporation or regional corporation can't get together with them and have them come out to the villages and let people know what's really going on.
The tell me, do you get any dividends from Chilista?
Once or twice, I think. In 84, I got $30, and if I remember right, that's $30 in 84. I think we got one before that.
So it's not a lot of bucks.
No. I think, well, speaking for myself, about some people I've talked with too, I don't think they're too much worried about dividends, but it's good to get once in a while, at least let you know you're own part owner or something. But I think our corporation here, the Kuskokwim Corporation, I think is one of the finest, I think, one of the finest anywhere. It's run by, you know, but the part I don't like, it's the same, going back to the same thing again, we need more communication. We need our corporation to come out here, let us know what the heck's going on sometimes, you know. Sometimes you just feel so left out, it's like you're not even part of the corporation that you're part owner of.
Do you think, in your mind, some changes should be made in the Native Claims Act, say pertaining to 1991? What do you think about restricting the stock not ever to be sold? Now, there's a lot of question on that from other regions saying they should have the right to sell. What do you think about it? Do you think they should, Congress, if we were to go to Congress and say we want to restrict it, nobody but Natives would own it. What do you think? Do you think...
I'd agree with that. I think, as I said earlier, I think that it should be all Native.
How about the younger kids?
The young kids?
You know, the ones that are 20 years old now.
This one, right here.
Yeah, like this one right here.
Well, after 81, I mean, after December 18th, 1971, I got kids of my own. Mm-hmm. I got three boys. And.
Mm-hmm. What are their feelings, I wonder, you know, your shares, you know, that they'll inherit, or maybe if they're old enough, they got shares, you know. Would you think they would like to sell them? I mean, we have to consider those too, you know. I don't think it's right myself to say mandatorily nobody can sell it, because the Constitution of the United States prohibits that, you know.
Well, if we really get down to the bottom line, who are going to sell their stocks really in December and in 1991? Who's really going to sell their stocks? I think muscle face it, there's going to be people that are going to need money. You're going to need money right now, and they're the ones that can, you know, be selling it. But I think some of us that you know, kind of thinking for the future, and you know, we'll hang on to them. But again, we have, myself face again, we have a problem with alcohol, you know, in the state of Alaska, and, you know, in our region, it's bad. And what's going to happen if they get a little drunk and want some money now? They'll sell, mm-hmm. you know, without even thinking twice.
You know, under corporate laws, you can do that right today. You can our corporation, our shares right today were worth about $10,000 apiece. That's cash asset, not even value in the land. But I always thought, now let me tell you my thinking of this thing. The corporations are under state, federal, state laws. A corporation, any corporation, can declare dividends or split stock. Meaning if you were to sell your share in 1991 to the corporation, I could tell you and make the corporation board of directors can say, we want to split your stock, meaning you need $5,000. Yes, we can give you $5,000 and you can keep 50% of your shares in the corporation. You know, people need money, like you say, you know, and have an option where you can go back and pay off that $5,000 if you want and get your 100% again, 100 shares again. That can be done right today under state corporation laws. My thinking is this, if Congress doesn't take recommendations from Mr. Bercher and from the resolutions or amendments that the AFN is trying to talking about, if that all fails,